Download Gundelio for free today and start saving money. Get alerts to hot deals by walking into a gun store. Plus, offers, new products, and videos sent straight to your smartphone. Get your gear for less. Gundelio.com.
Your AK-47.
I don't know about that one. I don't know. Hey, Tom Gresham here. It's Gun Talk. Glad that you could be with us. It's going to be, going to be a heck of a show today. We have so many things going on. A lot of news has been breaking over the week. You may have seen some of it. You may not. Even if you have, you probably don't know what it all means. We're going to break it all down for you right here. If you'd like to be part of this, make a note of our number. The dial-in number here is 866-TALK-GUN, or easier to remember, honestly. It's just Tom Talk Gun. Well, Tom, that's me, Tom Gresham. Gun Talk. We've been on the air here for, oh my gosh, more than 25 years. I did get a kick. I saw a news release this week from somebody who says they had the longest running gun related podcast in America. I'm thinking, really? They started in 2012. I'm thinking, yeah, we started in 1995. We were putting it online by about 1998. They have 165 episodes. We have 3,500 episodes and 34 million downloads, but that's okay. Look, we're glad to have as many as we can. It's just, you got to look around before you make a claim like that. I'm so glad that you are here. We've been talking about guns for, well, pretty much all of my life. I've been talking about guns this week. I've been talking, with the people out at Gunsight, talked to the people at SIG Academy. All the training facilities are busy, busy, busy. If you are thinking about getting some training from a good trainer, whether it's local or one of these national outfits, you might want to check, because a lot of them are booked months and months ahead of time. You might want to go ahead and get your position locked in, okay? So what happened this week? Well, it was pretty huge. The reports on it in the news said that it was huge, but most of them missed the other side of it. I'll give you the quick version here. In California, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that California's ban on high capacity, they call them large capacity, I call them standard capacity magazines. The ban on these magazines is unconstitutional. Well, what's all that mean? Well, I'm not going to try to explain it to you, but Rick Travis will. He's the director from the California Rifle and Pistol Association. Rick, thank you for being here. What a week, huh?
Oh, it's been a week, and we're very, very happy.
I guess so. So, all right. So, when you're trying to explain to somebody, what does this win mean? In the case, if people want to look it up, is Duncan versus Becerra. What does this mean? What is it?
Well, so there are two different levels of where most of our community are looking at this. Of course, everybody in California wants to be able to have what they're brothers and sisters do in the other states, which are standard capacity magazines that are often issued with a firearm when you buy it anywhere else. Where in California, I always liken it to like having the donut tire in the back of your brand new car. It kind of looks like a tire, but really isn't. That's what a 10-round magazine is for us out here.
I like it. I like that.
So we have been fighting this. Basically, back in 2016, it was a two-prong attack. Because there was a political match between the lieutenant governor, who's now our governor, Gavin Newsom, and former governor Jerry Brown over who could enact these laws fast. So we had what was called Prop 63, which was Newsom, and we had Gunmageddon, which was Brown. And so we got hit two different ways with ammo restrictions, can no longer have standard capacity magazines, a host of other things designed to kill the culture of gun ownership in California. And the California Rifle Pistol Association and the NRA at that time came together to fight this. Since then, it's been left largely to us to continue the fight because of financial issues the NRA's had to focus on in other parts of the country and on the national election. And so we took up that mantle proudly as their state association, have been fighting this, and we got a victory back in April, or late March, early April of 2017, which led to what was called Freedom Week, where literally Californians imported over 1.2 million magazines into the state during that week. And everybody was very excited, happy. And then the Judge Benitez at that time, put a stay and said, hey, you can't do this anymore until the Ninth Circuit decides, because at that point, the governor pushed it. So thanks to Donald J. Trump, our president, we were able to have a more balanced Ninth Circuit, which is now actually a circuit and not a circus court, which had been for decades, most liberal, most struck down court in the nation. And so now we have more of a balance. So on a 2-1 decision, and I really encourage your people to go out and look at the Duncan v. Becerra decision, because these judges pointed out three facts that all of us, like you, Tom, and myself, speak about all the time. People like, well, where's the proof? Well, here you go. Over 640 people every day in America use a firearm to protect themselves or the lives of somebody else. 640 times a day. That's just short of 250,000 times a year.
Wow. Okay.
And where's that in the press? That never makes it into the press.
It's invisible. It never happens. And as I tell people, look, if you were studying a drug and all you did was report on the negative side effects and never talked about the benefits, then people would say ban the drug. And that's what they do when the media reports on firearms use. They report only on the misuse of guns and not on the benefits, that is, saving lives.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the worst year in some of these mass gun attacks, which all of us find tragic and we wish they would have never happened, and our hearts go out to the victims of those. But if you look at it, it is several hundred times over of the number of lives saved versus taken. And so, you know, that's one of the things I think is really important in this case. But what this case really has to deal with is not so much the magazines. It has to do with justices legislating from the bench, which is what we've had a huge problem with, not just in our community, but across the board in Americans' rights. And what the Supreme Court has continually said was they wanted a case that really came down to what's called strict and intermediate scrutiny, which had been set up by Justice Scalia in the famous Heller and McDonald cases, which is you have to apply whatever the issue is back to the Constitution.
Well, and let me jump in here. And what was interesting about it, they said they're going to rule under strict scrutiny. They said, but even if you were using intermediate scrutiny, a much lesser criteria, they said this ban still would not hold up, and they still would overthrow it even under intermediate scrutiny. But they did apply correctly strict scrutiny to this.
Right. And so now what this has done is it's set up an interesting point for us, and that is, you know, everybody is now waiting for the 28th of this month, because if the governor doesn't file for an appeal to what's called an en banc, which is an 11-court panel to review the 3-court panel of the Ninth Circuit, if he doesn't, then of course Standard Passing magazines, once they're available, because as all of us know, they're scarce already because of all the civil unrest and COVID-19 and the purchasing nationwide of them. But once that would open back up right afterwards, people could do it. However, the governor could push for the en banc. And there's a couple of things I'll point out to your listeners that are really different from the past. Number one, this is not the Ninth Circuit of 2016, last time we had an en banc appeal where it was like 8-3 right. in their favor. Right now, it is balanced thanks to Donald J. Trump. And so as a result, this could very easily go 6-5. So if the governor pushes that, that would be the third time he would get slapped down, because he's already been slapped by 2 courts. And at that point, he's not going to look very good as the guy he wants to be, because he wants to run in 2024 for president. This is really a political issue now for him, because even if he won the en banc, we would be extremely happy, because that would push it directly to the Supreme Court. Right. And according to Kavanaugh and other people, this is the kind of case they've been looking for, which would make it law of the land.
And, of course, what we're hoping is, of course, if Trump were to get reelected, then the Supreme Court probably changes, and we're going to get one or two more justices there, and we're in a much better place. Let me switch and ask you another question here, though. This is about magazines, but they said magazines are arms. You cannot ban them because they are in common use. It's not a very big step for a lot of us to say, well, if they're saying you can't ban magazines because they're in common use, would it not hold that you can't ban semi-automatic firearms because they also are in common use?
Yes, it's exactly what it does. This case right now is so wonderful because our attorneys have been brilliant. All the people have come together on it, have been brilliant, done an incredible job. And what this does is it sets us up that if it stays here at the Ninth Circuit, it gives us the grounds to fire off literally dozens of cases to start opening things up, not just here in California, but nationwide.
You could actually get rid of the California roster as well on the basis of this, because that's nothing more than a gun ban.
Right. And so one of the things we're looking forward to is that Ninth Circuit being upheld or going to the Supreme Court, because this literally turns the tide. This case has the potential to be as landmark as Heller or McDonald.
Absolutely. And that's what the point I wanted to get people to understand is that, yes, it's big news about magazines. I know a lot of people are just itching to order their magazines or get their magazines in. But on a bigger scale, this has the potential to wipe out actually every gun ban in the country if this were to be upheld. If they said, you can't ban guns that are in common use, which, oh, yeah, by the way, that's what Heller says. That's what Scalia said in Heller. You cannot ban guns which are in common use. So if this decision holds and then we piggyback and start building on that, you could literally, quite literally, get rid of every gun ban in the country.
And one of the other things I really want to point out to people, because I almost lost my voice over the past couple of days doing this, is there is a third leg to this that I think a lot of people are missing.
Okay.
You know, California is a huge state. We've had Soros pull millions of dollars into the anti-gun lobby in here. Same thing with his counterpart, Bloomberg. And, you know, the CRPA is a wonderful group of people that I've had the privilege to work with. We've got wonderful members. But we're relatively small compared to the machine that we're fighting, both at the state level, who has a budget that they don't care if it's in the red, they just keep spending money like there's no tomorrow to fight us, and we're winning. And it looks like we have another case coming down, which is Rody Becerra, which has all the ammunition restrictions, and it looks like there's a good chance we're going to win that one too. And this is showing people that quit having a negative Nancy attitude of we can't win, we are winning.
You. We can win, and don't get negative. Don't give up. And yeah, there's Bloomberg money, there's Soros money, but we have the law on our side. We have the Second Amendment on our side. But it does take. I mean, look, I'm just going to put out the pitch right here, Rick. It does take money to do this. Lawyers are not cheap, even if they cut you a good deal. For the California Rifle and Pistol Association, for SAF, for NRA, for anybody who's doing this stuff, it's important. Let me do this, Rick. I'm going to give out at CRPA.org. Is that the best place for people to find out more about California Rifle and Pistol Association?
And to donate, and just so everybody does, it doesn't matter who the organization is. I tell people this all the time. For us to litigate a case from start to finish, all the way to the Supreme Court, is about a $2.5 to $3 million deal. And right now, just our organization has over 30 cases done against the state of California trying to save not just Californians' gun rights, but the nation's. Because as we go, other people start to go, well, if they can do it in California, we can do it here. And we're trying to stop it from going anywhere.
Well done. We will talk again about this because this is an important case. We're going to follow it. We'll keep people up to date with what happens with it en banc and as we go forward. Rick, Travis, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, and anytime, we're there for you.
All righty, you take care. 866-TALK-GUN. When we come back, I want to explain a little bit more about this and what it means to you. And the other question is, can you, if you're in California, can you go ahead and buy your standard capacity 20, 30-round magazines right now? Maybe. I'll fill you in.
Used guns can be a great value, but you have to know who you're buying from. What if you could buy quality used guns with a lifetime warranty from the internet's largest online reseller? That's what you get at DeweysGuns.com. They stand behind every firearm purchase for life. If you have a problem, they'll either fix or replace your gun. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, and more. Check out their inventory today at DeweysGuns.com.
Are you looking for a place to shoot? The National Shooting Sports Foundation has a great website called wheretoshoot.org. It's the largest database of shooting ranges on the internet. It's also a great resource for shooters where you can find video tips, printable targets, and a lot more. Find it online at wheretoshoot.org. And while you're there, download their free iPhone app. That's wheretoshoot.org.
The pistol that redefined pocket carry just got even better. The Ruger LCP2 has improved sights, an easy-to-rack slide, a larger textured grip surface for a secure grip and recoil reduction, and a short, crisp, single-action trigger pull for real-world accuracy. It's so small and light that there's no reason to ever leave home without your LCP2. A serious pistol in a pint-sized package. Learn more about the LCP2 at Ruger.com.
All right, back with you, 866-TALK-GUN, or Tom Talk Gun. That'll get you in here if you have a thought about this case. Or for something else on your mind, by all means, just give me a holler. We're talking about this case that came out of the Ninth Circuit just this week. It's the Duncan v. Becerra court case. I would encourage you to try to find it online, download it, and read it. If you've ever read the Heller decision written by Antonin Scalia, you will recognize some of that in this case. Excellent points being made. One of the things they said, and oh, here's one of the things. Remember, we're not talking about just AR-15 magazines. We're talking about magazines for handguns. Anything more than 10 rounds was banned. Well, that would be the standard magazines for Smith & Wesson M&P, for most Rugers, for most Glocks. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Pretty much all the standard capacity pistols, they say you can't have those magazines. So the court said, wait a minute. By our reckoning, we think that there are 115 million magazines in the U.S. that qualify under this rule. I think they probably misjudge it by a factor of 3 to 5X. I think there may be a half a billion magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. So the whole idea, and then here's the crux of the matter. The court ruled that magazines are arms. You'll notice the Second Amendment does not say firearms. It does not say guns. It says arms. They said magazines are arms, and therefore you cannot ban them if they are in common use. 115 million makes them in common use. Well, we know that semi-automatic rifles, semi-automatic pistols are in common use. So following that logic, then any ban, any so-called assault weapon ban, would be unconstitutional. This is all very good news. It's all very encouraging. And most likely it will be appealed. It will go to en banc. It'll have 11 judges review it. Good news here is that the Ninth Circuit has been kind of been flipped by President Trump with all of his appointments. There are as many or more Republicans on the Ninth Circuit as there are Democrats now. So it's luck of the draw. So what does that mean for right now? I have been saying this for many, many years. I said it before the last election, that it's all about judges and justices. Donald Trump has put 200 federal judges on the bench, put two justices on the Supreme Court. Forget everything else, okay? Forget bump stocks. Yeah, we might even be able to get that fixed. Forget the things he says because he tries to get shock value, okay? Judges and justices. If you have the judges and the justices saying it is unconstitutional, that is, it is illegal, that is, you can't do it, to ban full capacity magazines, to ban semi-automatic firearms, to ban any kind of gun in common use, then all the stuff in the legislatures and Congress doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. This is what Donald J. Trump has done for us on the gun side. This is what he will continue to do for us. And for those who say, well, you know, I don't know, he said this and he did that, and go, okay, right, great. It's an A-B choice. It's a very simple choice. Joe Biden said he will put Beto O'Rourke in charge of his gun policy.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Yeah, that guy. We're going to take it. On his official platform, it is the wish list of the gun ban industry, Joe Biden. Kamala Harris, give me a break. Gun banner from way back, elitist, of course. And a holy terror, I will just tell you, from the folks I know in California who've had dealings with her. Donald Trump may not be perfect. And I don't know, you pick a number, I don't care what it is. Say he's 80%, what you want. Say he's 90%. Well, Biden's a zero. And those are your choices. Perfect's not running. Perfect doesn't run any given time. So there you go. It kind of makes the choice simple when it comes to voting. Now, the real question is, are you registered to vote? Or are your friends registered to vote? Are the people you know? I would offer that you should go to gunvote.org. That's gunvote.org. where people can go send your friends, they're your family members. They can check to see if they're registered. They can register to vote because you got to do that. And you got to do it now. I mean, these deadlines are coming right up. We're less than 90 days away from the election right now. So there's a lot going on. It's an important time. This case out of California that we just won this week gives you a very clear look at the value of putting the right judges and the right justices on the bench. If you never quite understood that or didn't really incorporate that into your thinking, this is it. This is the Ninth Circuit telling California you cannot ban large capacity magazines. It's unconstitutional. That probably goes to the Supreme Court. And as we know, the Supreme Court recently turned down 10 gun cases. The thinking is, for people who watch the Supreme Court, is that it was basically 4-4 with Roberts undecided and the justices who wanted to take these cases and get good rulings on the Second Amendment were afraid of Roberts. They were afraid he was going to spin. As one court observer told me personally, he said, look, here's the deal with Roberts. He is more concerned with the legacy of the Supreme Court than with the law. He is more concerned with how the Supreme Court is going to be viewed now and historically. He wants to be on the quote-unquote right side of history, as opposed to just ruling on the law. He's basically being pushed around by the political winds, if you will. But you keep Donald Trump in office, which means registering to vote and getting everybody out to vote. Now we put one or two more justices on the bench, and done deal. All these great cases like this, when they get to the Supreme Court, they go the right way. They support the Second Amendment. They get rid of gun bans. What else do you want? I mean, what else are you wanting to have happen? And you can make it happen just by registering your vote and going out and voting. Hey, our number here is 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back with more Gun Talk. All right, back with you. 866-TALK-GUN will get you in here. First up, we got Charles, who's been on hold for a little while out of Coos Bay, Oregon, on line 4. Hey, Charles, thank you for your patience. How can I help you, sir?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you hearing me. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Serious question. When I pull my pistol, I come to the low guard position.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why that is. Because if I shoot off your penis and your testicles, you will go down. If I shoot you between your testicles and your belly button, you will go down. Now, between the belly button,
let me back up. Let me back up. Let me back up. You have no idea what low ready is, do you? You've never actually taken a class in this, have you?
I know what low guard is. Yes, I do.
Low guard is not pointing a gun at anybody or any part of a body.
That's correct. It's pointed towards the ground, approximately halfway between you and the threat.
Let me go back and ask the question. Have you ever taken a real self-defense gun class?
Yes, I have.
Where?
God, I can't tell you. It was 40 years ago.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Almost everything you're saying is bad idea. It's bad tactics. I want to say it's wrong, but I'm not going to say that. It's just a bad idea because I don't know where you came up with this stuff, but it's like everything you're saying is wrong.
Tell me why.
Okay, it's really, really simple. You have 0.3 seconds to keep this guy from killing you. He may not be impressed if you shoot him in the groin. He may not be impressed if you shoot him in the stomach. Sometimes they're not even impressed when you shoot him right between the armpits, and it takes several shots to get anything done. But if you shoot him in a less than vital place, you are giving them time to continue to do bad things. That is the essence of what the training is about. It's putting multiple shots right between the armpits, right there in the middle in the high thoracic area to try to stop the threat and make everything stop. Shooting somebody in the crotch is like the worst idea I can imagine. And you may say, oh, well, that'll hurt him. I don't care if he's hurt. He may still kill you. The whole idea is to make him stop doing everything he's doing in nanoseconds.
If I shoot his penis and his testicles off,
no,
he will go down.
Let me just tell you, you're so wrong, you need to do research. I know of many, many cases where people have been shot in the crotch, have been shot in the gut, have been shot multiple places, and they still continue to fight. They still could. You're just, all I can tell you, sir, is you need to upgrade your training. If you went to training 40 years ago, it's time to go back to school. And in the meantime, try to get your head right and get away from this idea, besides the fact that you like to say penis, okay? And there's a whole other issue going on there. I appreciate your call, sir. I got to run. All right, let me, that was weird. Okay. let me talk to some friends of ours, the folks over at Brownells. Of course, you know Brownells.com. They're kind of the originally suppliers to gunsmiths. Now they're suppliers to about everything that has to do with guns. Paul Levy joins me right now. Hey, Paul, you guys have been... Well, you actually been into the gun making business, and you're just doing some cool, cool stuff on the retro side. What's the latest?
Yeah, Tom, thanks for having me on. We have an update to the BRN 180 upper receiver. So we have the Gen 2 that just came out. We introduced the BRN 180 about a year and a half ago. It's an upper receiver that fits a standard AR-15 lower receiver. And what it does, what the idea is it took the original AR-180 concept, the piston short stroke concept, and put it on an AR-15. It has a recoil system housed in the upper receiver, and what that allows then is the user to have a folding buttstock or have a pistol configuration that's quite compact and handy on their existing AR-15 lower receiver. So the Gen 2 just came out this past week. We have a 16-inch and a 10.5-inch and 223 Wild, which works fine with 5.56 NATO and 223 Remington. And they all have adjustable gas system. That's the update to the Gen 2. Also has a bit more robust handguard attachment. And the really exciting addition to the line is the 300 Blackout. So we have a 10-inch 300 Blackout upper receiver now in that configuration.
Now, the 10 or 10.5-inch, that would be primarily for the pistol configuration, am I right?
Correct, correct. If you choose the 10.5, 223, or say you went with the 300 Blackout and the 10-inch, that's going to have to go on a pistol lower receiver, or if you have an SBR, a short-barreled rifle, it'd have to go on that lower receiver, correct.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this. I'm trying to hold on here. With the BRN 180, you drop that onto your existing AR, replace the upper, but now you can take off your butt stock because you don't need that?
Yeah, so a typical AR-15 has that recoil system, the buffer spring, and that buffer tube at the rear, and that mechanism needs to operate it in it. With the BRN 180, there's two recoil guide rods housed in the upper receiver, and the bolt travels within the length of the upper receiver, has no need to go into the lower receiver or protrude rearward at all. So you can remove that entirely. There's adapters that can be purchased separately. You can purchase one of our BRN 180 lower receivers, which has a Picatinny rail at the rear, which you could add a brace to or a stock. It really allows for a pretty handy setup.
And at that point, you said you could put a folding stock on it or any other kind of stock you want, but you don't have to have the buffer mechanism back there.
Correct. You can still use a standard AR-15 buffer tube or buffer tube-based stock, like a collapsible or a fixed, like a PRS. That's quite all right.
Okay, so what are these things selling for?
Currently, they're on our site for $899, and that's the new Gen 2. They're all three models, the 223 Wild, the 16-inch, the 10.5, and then the 300 Blackout.
Okay, we keep hearing about shortages everywhere. You know, nobody can find any guns, nobody can find any anything. You guys got stuff?
Yep, they're continuing to roll in. We just got a batch of 300 Blackouts in late this week. Maybe they might be gone already. But I believe the 16-inch model is in stock right now. Keep an eye on the website. They're continuing to roll in. We're getting good shipments. I should say this. Primary Weapon Systems designed this platform for us in conjunction with FM Products. And PWS out there in Idaho is they're taking care of us, and they got a steady stream of supply coming our way on these.
That is terrific. And for those who may not quite be aware of it, you can order an upper and have it shipped directly to yourself. It's not a firearm, so that you can get that thing shipped directly to your home, right?
Correct. Yeah, an upper receiver is not a serialized part, and it's essentially a gun part.
That is so cool. Brownells.com, you know, take a look at that. And, of course, you got all the other stuff. I mean, if people are looking for, well, actually, magazines and even ammo. I know ammo's in short supply, but I've talked to several people who said, I've been able to get it at Brownells.
Yeah, you got to really stay, you got to hit refresh. But we are continuing to get good shipments each week. We got ammo coming in. We're not going crazy on our pricing. So just keep an eye on the website. It's always coming in. Mags. You know, we got our own mags. We got a variety of magazines from manufacturers like Magpul and others. So check it out there. We've got a good assortment.
Sounds good. Paul, thank you so much, and congratulations on the BRN 180 Gen 2. Those uppers sound really cool.
Yep. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
All right. You take care. All right. Open lines for you. 866 Talk Gun. Well, okay. So where are you going to shoot him? That was odd. All right, 866-TALK-GUN.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless black powder and black powder substitute propellants distributed under the Hodgson, IMR, Winchester, Pyrodex, 777, and GOX brands. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
Attacks happen every day. How will you react? See real people put into real-life criminal attack situations on First Person Defender. Discover what works and what doesn't. Kidnapping, ATM robbery, home invasion, and other attacks. Learn how to save your life and the lives of your family. Get the entire first season on DVD at ShopGunTalk.com. Get prepared. ShopGunTalk.com.
Unmatched modularity, unprecedented accuracy, uncompromising reliability. It's easy to understand why 6 Hours P320 is the official sidearm of all branches of the U.S. military. Available in multiple sizes and configurations, including the competition-ready X5 Legion, civilian versions of both the M17, M18, and now the new RXP versions featuring a mounted and zeroed Romeo 1 Pro reflex optic. So it's ready to shoot right out of the box. 6 Hours P320. Never settle.
I'm always amazed at how many people have these strong beliefs that are simply wrong. And I'm not talking about, like, differences of opinion. I'm talking about where should you aim to shoot somebody? Well, I'll shoot him in the crotch. I'm not going to go there again with the guy. Really? That's childish. And it's uninformed. And it may get you or some member of your family killed. Go get some good training. There are a lot of great trainers out there now. Look it up online, for heaven's sakes. Look at all of our videos. We have 1,000 or more videos, actually more than 1,000 videos up on YouTube. Look for Gun Talk. We talk about this stuff. We talk to police officers. We talk to people in the military. We talk to special forces people. We talk to people who've been contractors. We talk to people. I mean, the people we talk to say things like, well, the last person I shot, he went, oh, okay, this may be somebody I need to talk to because they actually have real-world experience. And I will just tell you, never in my entire career of working with people like that who know what they're talking about have I ever heard anybody say, shoot them in the crotch. Never. There's just something different going on there. Mike's with us out of Lexington, Kentucky on two. Hey, Mike, you're on Gun Talk. What's cooking?
Hey, Tom, how are you today? Great.
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I'm always a week late because I listen via podcast. I don't have a local station, and on Saturday, my work day, I listen to Gun Talk. But
okay.
Just want to comment about the NRA and your comments last week. I've a benefactor member, been a member for years, an NRA instructor, was a firearms instructor for other law enforcement agencies, and I've just I've decided not to really support them financially any longer.
Yeah?
So as of this morning, I decided to join the Second Amendment Foundation, who's a lifetime member.
Well, excellent. Remind me again, is it still $250 for a lifetime membership of the SAF?
It was $150.
$150? Only $150. Wow.
Only $150.
Holy cow. Well, that is terrific. Yeah, I know. I mean, look, I support the NRA. I want the NRA to be strong. I want it to be good. I want it to be the best it can be. I just think we've got leadership there that prevents that from happening. And my fear is that their egos or their intransigence invites the kind of attacks we're seeing from the New York Attorney General's office. And if they were to leave, I think it might help on so many different levels, but they clearly are showing no signs of wanting to do that. I don't think that's a possibility. They'll have to be forced out either by the board or through legal means. We'll see what happens there. But congratulations and thank you for joining and supporting SAF. I think it's a great group. We were just talking about lawsuits, and SAF does great work on all these different lawsuits.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there you are. By the way, we're talking about Trump. I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, I was just in a Trump boat parade down in Orange Beach, Alabama. That was fun. But also the fact that we had a great decision coming out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because of the judges that Trump has been able to put on the benches there. He's pretty much flipped the ninth and several other circuits. For me, that's all I need. That's all I need in terms of supporting Donald Trump. I mean, look. Joe Biden is a gun banner. Kamala Harris is a gun confiscator. So we don't have to go any further than that. Congratulations. By the way, for those who are interested, the Second Amendment Foundation website is saf.org. Mike, thank you so much, and carry on. Keep spreading the word out there, man. All righty. I'm thinking about, can't stop thinking about this guy's call and the bad information that's out there in terms of self-defense. And I talk to people all the time. I was talking to a woman a day or two ago, and she said, well, you know, we're in a safe area here. Now, if I were going somewhere, if I lived a different place, no, she said, yeah, if I lived a different place, then maybe I would want to take the kind of training you're talking about. It's like you're thinking, okay, we're going to have to do a reset of the thinking here. So, well, do you know everybody around you? Well, you know, not really, but they're good people. Do any of them ever have any guests there? Do any of them, their kids have other kids that stay over the weekend? Do any of those kids ever get in trouble? Do they do stuff? Well, yeah, sometimes. Do you ever go anywhere that's not in your neighborhood? It's like you're just going, they're working so hard to convince themselves that they are safe. They're working so hard to convince themselves that they don't need to take responsibility for their own safety. It is intellectual laziness is what it is. The very idea that I don't need to take any steps to ensure my safety because, oh, gee, how could I? I'll just make up this idea that I'm just safe. I'm in a good area. I'm a good part of town. I never go to the bad parts of town. Really? You don't think they come where you are? Then you start saying, well, has there been any vandalism around here? Have you had anything stolen? Well, yeah, we've had some reports of that. And you're just going, what are you thinking? You have to take responsibility for your own safety and for that of your family. Who else is going to do it? I said, well, we got the police. Great. Had somebody this week say, well, you know, she should just call the police if somebody's breaking in. Really, he will be on top of her in 20 seconds, and the police are going to be there in 5 minutes. But you're saying she should wait for them to get there. The guy's coming at her with a knife, and you want her to wait until somebody else brings a gun instead of using her own gun to save her own life. I think not. All right, back with you. 866-TALK-GUN gets you in here. Let's see. Let's talk to Wayne. He's in Atlanta, Texas on 4. Hey, Wayne, I hear you took a road trip.
Yes, sir, I did. 13 days, 13 states, and 3,900 miles.
On a motorcycle?
And, yes, sir. We went to Sturgis. Turns out Antifa showed up just after we left, but you wouldn't believe all the Trump supporters that were there. Everything.
I just saw a video of the Antifa folks at Sturgis trying to stir it up. And let me just tell you, the Rapid City Police Department, those guys just don't put up with anything. They shut that thing down instantly.
They were everywhere up there, and they just minded their own business. As long as you did right, they didn't bother you.
Yep, exactly right. Real professionals, exactly right. So I see in the notes here you also went by the Cody Museum. Were they open? Did you get to go in?
Yes, sir. When we left out, my number one goal, we went to Rifle, Colorado and went and ate dinner at the Shooter's Grill. And got some T-shirts. And we made a trip up through Utah and Wyoming, Montana, went to Yellowstone. And we came back through Cody and spent about a half a day going through the Farm Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it is awesome.
It's hard to describe when you come home and try to tell people about it, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. We didn't have time to go through all the everything. The farm is what we focused on.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a chance to pull out all the drawers and read all the things about it. But going through the coat manufacturing process and everything, I mean, it's amazing what they did back with so little.
It is, and the museum is so engaging and so interesting. And I know people think I'm blowing smoke because I keep telling people, look, you have to give it at least a day. And honestly, if you really want to try to see everything, I'll allocate a day and a half to 2 days. But you cannot see it.
They give you a two-day ticket when you sign
exactly.
When you go in.
Yeah, they won't even sell you a one-day ticket. They sell you a two-day ticket because they know you're going to need that, especially if you're going to try to see all the museums. There are five museums there. But you can't even see just the Firearms Museum in one day.
No, sir. No, sir. It is awesome. I mean, it is. I can't describe the things. I mean, you seeing things from your childhood, the Bonanza, all the handguns and the
right,
posters and all this stuff.
The movie guns.
The Bonanza.
Yep, they got the military stuff, the movie guns, the early stuff. I mean, and the way they display them, the way they give the information. You just take your time and you go from one to one. Like I say, there's all these drawers. You keep pulling stuff out and go, holy cow, there's a whole room over there I didn't even know about. It's fabulous.
I've got that and everything. You know, they got everything. I mean, and they give the history of it, and it's amazing.
Well, that is terrific. I really appreciate the range report. I mean, it's nice for me to hear somebody else get as excited about that place as I do because it's one of my favorite places. And I will just tell you, and look, appreciate the call, Wayne. Everybody who goes there has the same reaction. Now, they all go, holy cow, that's amazing. Yeah, I know. That's what I've been saying. We're talking about the Cody Firearms Museum in Cody, Wyoming. It is the Buffalo Bill Historical Center. There actually are five museums under one roof. One ticket gets you into all five museums for 2 days. If you are wondering where to go, if you're feeling cooped up, if you got the COVID-itis thing going where you say, I just got to get out of here, man, point yourself up to Cody. It's pretty cool. Also, we're going to continue to talk about this case coming out of the Ninth Circuit. Also, there's some really good news when it comes to guns and kids. We'll be telling you that. And a success in North Carolina. We have state groups fighting for gun rights everywhere, which is a reminder, one more time, join your state gun rights group. That may be some of the best money you can spend. Be right back.